Jam! Hello and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. If I sound slightly under the weather, it's because I am slightly under the weather.
Except for the astronauts on the ISS, are we not all under the weather?
Yeah, but I mean, like, the weather is pressing me down under its thumb.
Oh, that's because of the humidity. You live in the south.
What? No, it's because yesterday, apparently, it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
And a couple days before
that's
that.
That's not right.
A couple days before that, when I went outside, it was 34.
Yeah, that's
accurate.
So, like, I don't think that my sinuses can handle this, and they have quit. They're like, nope, we surrender until something else happens. So I've been coughing. I've got this in my throat. My throat hurts. It's terrible. And yet still today, somehow, for some reason, I decided to stream Overwatch because I was going to be playing Overwatch anyway. You see?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I'm Chewy.
Hi, Chewy.
Under the weather.
Hi, Chewy.
Hi. And I am joined by everyone's favorite snarky goblin, what won't stay in the graveyard, and who always gets a gold on objective time, Squee.
I'm on the payload, and I'm staying on the payload, and I wish you were here.
And everyone's favorite bowtie-wearing, curmudgeonly science guy. Wait, no, that's copyrighted. Science dude.
That's probably also copyrighted. Who knows?
Doctor.
Science doctor man. Clues. Bowtie.
Yes. Face. I was going to start off the show by trying to do a really bad Chris Lansdell impression, but I just can't. So I'm not going to.
Doesn't Chris Lansdell already do a pretty good, very bad Chris Lansdell impression?
Yeah, I can't possibly match his Chris Lansdell impression.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got it down. I think he practices in front of a mirror.
Also, tell me more about the payload. I have heard about it, but I've never seen one.
It's a magical place.
It heals you. It loves you. It wants to be your friend, and you ignore it.
Oh, so I'm supposed to run away from the payload.
If you don't want healing, sure.
I see.
As in, I will never heal you again.
Sorry, we've been playing a lot of Overwatch in the last several days.
Yeah, now that this event's wrapping up, we'll cheese it
yeah.
a little bit on that.
Hey, does the payload have cookies?
Yeah, that's how you heal.
If you go to it, you'll find out.
Yeah, that's how you heal, is the cookies.
Okay. I can get behind that.
I figured cookies. You could.
You should get on that.
Anyway. So.
Magic.
Magic, yes. This is... Is this week 3 after the Pro Tour? Was the Pro Tour last week? Being sick has completely screwed up my concept of time even more than it already was. And you guys don't remember either. Awesome.
Yeah, I feel like the Pro Tour was last week. Because I think Lansdell was on immediately after the Pro Tour, and I listened to that episode. I wasn't on that episode.
Right, that was last week. Okay, so
this is just a week ago, dude.
This is week 1 after the Pro Tour then.
Yes. So
you're thinking of it being like the 3rd week of standard decks. Now the 4th week.
Is that all?
Made
yeah, because there were 2 weeks of SCG events, and then there was the Pro Tour, and now here's the first one after.
Oh.
Because prior to that, it was all limited and stuff.
Well, there you go, then.
So, hey, look, new stuff.
Yeah, so right? Grand Prix Pittsburgh right? happened this weekend. Yay, Pittsburgh.
Hooray.
I like Pittsburgh, but I didn't go because broken, and I just didn't want to go to Pittsburgh in the wintertime. Nah. Appreciate you, though. There were, how many people were in this thing?
It doesn't 1333.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, 4 more people and this would have been the leadest, GP ever.
Yeah, well.
That seems kind of low for a standard GP, doesn't it?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, we've been getting used to the, you know, 2000 person events lately, so.
And the fact that it was Pittsburgh in the wintertime, you know, that might help or hurt or whatever. Anyway, so yeah, GP Pittsburgh, 1333. Who won? Are these deck lists in order? I didn't check. Ryan Bronson, Matthew Robert. Yay, okay, so Ryan Hare. I did not watch. I did watch, actually, a few minutes of this. I saw some of the quarterfinals, and it was brutal. It was so brutal. but Ryan Hare won, playing black-green. Which flavor of black green? Honestly, it doesn't matter.
It's the flavor that makes Clues sad when he looks at all the art.
I'm not looking at that art.
Look at the one 2 of it.
No,
then.
No.
What art are we?
I mean, you could look at the three transgress the mind and the board.
I'm not doing
or
that.
Or you can mouse up a little bit and look at distended mindbender.
Oh, certainly not doing that. I am going to go here and I'm going to look at this forest. Oh, that's nice. Look at that.
That is nice. You know, the only way to be
it might be a dryad arbor, dude. Watch out.
Oh, you got a point. I'll look at the swamp.
Wait, no, we're in standard. I think we're good. Anyway, so this is the version of black green. Hey, so all of these black green decks.
There's a little house in the swamp there. Look at that.
Hey, there is. Look at that. So all of these black green decks, of course, are running the +1/+1 counter package. Winding Constrictor, Walking Ballista, Rishkar Pima Renegade, Verdurous Gear Hulk. Just all of them.
Yeah.
The numbers might be fudged a little bit here and there, but pretty much that's it. This deck, I think the reason it's just called black green is because there's not really any other thing happening. Like there's
it's
Oath
just
of
playing off the counter game.
Yeah, there's Oath of Nyssa, Aethersphere Harvester, Nyssa Voice of Zendikar, which I don't recognize because the auto card art is a more different one. And then what's missing? Sylvan Advocate, Catacomb Sifter, Grasp of Darkness, Fatal Push. It's just quality black green cards, but it's really focusing on the +1/+1 counter package and the removal.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Green black hats.
Yeah. Everyone have a hat. Remember the Wall of Hats? Oh my god, I love the Wall of Hats. There we go. We've just finished the trifecta we talked about earlier. Sick. Okay. In second place, we'll get to that later. Bronson Gervasi, I think? Gervasi? Something like that. Was playing Mardu Vehicles.
I hear that's popular.
Yeah, if you watch the Pro Tour, then, you know, you should have been expecting this.
Wait, I'm sorry, what's this deck name again?
Mardu Vehicular Homicide.
Yeah, but you had another name for it. Back in the day.
Road Rage.
Not yet. Oh, yeah, Road Rage. Smarty oh, Road Rage.
Oh, well, I was waiting
no,
for the
No,
sound
we're,
effects.
We're not going back
we
to sound
knew
effects
you were.
Just yet.
Oh, man.
That's got to wait till next week.
It's what the people want.
The people don't matter. It's we have standards. I couldn't get it out with straight face.
Oh, man. I'm glad I wasn't taking a drink when you said that. I'm sorry. Mardu Vehicles.
I kind of wish you were. So it's...
Chewie's trying to drown me.
I mean, maybe. So it's your deck that's running. It's aggro. It's got Inventor's Apprentice, Thraben Inspector, Toolcraft Exemplar, Scrap Heap Scrounger, which I think is all the black. No, there's Fatal Push. Okay. Veteran Motorist, because, you know, cars. Pianalar, Thalia?
I approve.
Thalia is interesting, because Thalia doesn't make the enemy vehicles come in town. But that generally doesn't matter, because they're summoned sick.
Generally. Unless they've got a, is it Dapala? No, she doesn't give haste. Who's the one that gives haste? Speedway Fanatic.
Yeah, the Fanatic.
And I don't think I see them in these builds, do I?
Not much.
Okay. It's also running Fatal Push, Shock, Unlicensed Disintegration, and then of course, you can't have vehicles without vehicles. It's Heart of Kirin and Aethersphere Harvester. And because Heart of Kirin, you're also running Gideon, Ally of Zendikar, because Gideon can drive all the cars.
True.
At once. He can totally turn into a dude, give up a loyalty, and drive both cars because he's sick like that.
Yeah. I think the best part is that he gains a loyalty for turning into a dude. And then he immediately spends it to drive the second car.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's like he gets his AA token and then he throws it to his buddy and then they both go drive. That's probably way shadier than I meant it to be.
Yep, that sure is.
Mind you, he can also, you know, go for zero and make a white knight who could drive, in which case he literally throws his buddy in the car.
Nice. Excuse me. He's also got Sky Sovereign in the board along with such answers as Fumigate and Shock and Chandra Torch of Defiance and Release the Gremlins. Good lord, look at all that. Oh, and there's a Fragmentize over there. Damn. But yeah, that's the Mardu Vehicles deck. In third place, Matt Long is playing a very similar one. He's got Chandra in the main, and he's got a Dapala.
Yeah.
And he's got some Incendiary Flow. Oh, and he's got a Fleet Wheel Cruiser and a Sky Sovereign. But I mean, it's the same idea, it's just been tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's also got a full four Heart of Kirin.
Yeah, he's running eight cars. Bronson was only running five cars in the main.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Other than that, same idea. Robert Beatty is in fourth running Black Green Energy. So this one has the +1/+1 package. And then it's got the energy package of Attune with Aether, Long Tusk Cub, Glint Sleeve Siphoner, and Green Belt Rampager. Wait, is he running? He's not running the whole plus one counter package, is he? Whining Constrictor, Rishkar, yeah, oh, and Walking Ballista, and Verger Scarehulk. Never mind. We're good. They're all there. I'm sick. And can't, I'm sick and I can't read, alright?
Are you sick and tired?
I'm, as the prophet Ozzy said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. The prophet Ozzy. Before he became a reality TV star. And then the president. No, wait. Different reality TV star. Never mind. Fifth play. So again, it's got the plus one counter package, but this one has the energy package on top of it. So this one we name black, green energy. Now, if we go to the next place deck, which would be fifth place. Yeah. Adam Van Fleet. He's running black, green delirium. So he's got Grim Flayer, Gifted Aetherborn, Tireless Tracker, Ishkana, and Mind Rack Demon. Oh, and Traverse the Ulvenwald. So you see, you just take those two packages, slam them together, and throw in Fatal Push and Grasp of Darkness, and boom, you've got yourself a deck.
You guys remember, like, 30 million years ago when green wasn't good?
Unless you're talking about Commander, where green was always good. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, though.
Since green's not been good, yeah.
Yeah. So, in sixth place, Daniel Fournier is running, oh look, a different deck. The Jeskai version of the Crazy Cat Lady deck, which they have called Copycat, because they are boring. So this is the one that runs the full four Saheeli, the full four Felidar Guardian, Torrential Gear Hulk, Fumigate, and the rest is just murder and card draw, right? We've got Harness Lightning, Glimmer of Genius, Anticipate, Shock Horribly Awry, great name, Immolating Glare, Negate, and Disallow.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, it's the combo, Torrential Gear Hulk, and then, what is it, Murder, Card Draw, and Permission? And that's the whole deck. Straight up control deck.
Oh, really, that's sick.
What?
The Linval in the sideboard and a blink deck.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, you can only exploit it so much because she cares about the opponent having more stuff than you, but that's gotta be annoying.
Oh, there's also the Spell Queller in the main. I mean, in the board.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That one you're not going to be getting quite as much hacks out of, but.
No, it's just really freaking
just
good.
Just mean. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's straight up control deck with the Crazy Cat Lady combo. What have I done?
What'd you do?
I don't know. I've lost my mouse. Did my mouse die? Hey guys, keep going.
One rule. No dying. Right.
So number seven.
It's on the other monitor. Jeez. Okay. Seventh place. Anand Kare?
Kare?
Anand K is running the black green delirium deck. Remember, it's the black green plus one counter package with the delirium package thrown in. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and a natural obsolescence to put an artifact on the bottom of its owner's library for 2 mana. That's pretty good. Ooh, and murder and deadweight. Good lord, really? Nice. It's heavy on the murder. The concept,
the murder
the end card.
Of the murder and card advantage. Yeah.
Yeah. Also got the Gaunty Lord of Luxury in the board. That's pretty funny.
Cause swag.
Oh, there's Noxious Gear Hulk. I like it. Okay. Yeah. So that's, that delirium deck. And then Hunter Cochran in eighth place. Are these in the right order?
I almost moused over Transgress the Mind there.
I was waiting for you to go, ah!
In the list of top eight, it says Michael Cochran. And in the deck list, it says Hunter Cochran. So we're just going to call him Mike the Hunter.
Yeah.
He is running black-green adjectiveless, which is running... Okay, this one has the plus one counter package, of course. Lots of removal. Lifecrafter's Bestiary, which is funny. Aethersphere Harvester. Stuff flying through the air. It's got a full set of Gifted Aetherborn. The 2/3 Death Touch Lifelink for Black. Remember him? He's really good. What is it people were calling him? The Vampire Night Walk? Because he doesn't fly? That's dumb.
That is dumb.
It's running Sylvan Advocate, Tireless Tracker, Gaunty Lord of Luxury in the main, and then lots of removal. Well, 7 removal. Fatal Push, Grasp, and Murder. So, yeah. Again, if it's got the plus one counter and just good stuff, there's no adjective. If it's got the energy counter, you add energy. And if it's got the delirium package, you add delirium to the name, right? Are we all clear on this? They're actually really different in the way they play. They've just all got the counters, the hats package, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Plus one counters are essentially just hats. Like, think Team Fortress 2. Here, have a hat.
Oh man, there's an economy. No, that's energy. I'm sorry.
So yeah, that's the top eight. Those. So two Mardu vehicles decks, two delirium decks, two adjective list decks, one copycat, one energy. But essentially, there's three decks here.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to really narrow it down. Now, we were hoping
mana bases here.
We were hoping the meta would sort itself out. But this is just the top eight. Let's go to the top 32 and see what we have. There's nothing. Well, okay, ninth place has Robert Graves. He has a four-color copycat deck. This is the one that's running Energy and Chandra. It's got Servant of the Conduit, the Whirler Virtuoso, Rogue Refiner, Cloud Blazer, Attune with Aether, Harness Lightning, Oath of Nyssa, and Oath of Chandra. Like, it's got lots of stuff going on. It's not just a control deck with the combo. It's digging for the combo pretty much exclusively.
It's got two copies of Tameo.
In the board.
Yeah.
And Beryl's Expertise. Beryl's. I've got to quit saying that. Beryl's Expertise and Lifecrafter's Bestiary.
Do a Beryl roll.
It's an aileron roll. Damn it.
Use the boost to get through.
So, wow, the sideboard is really weird. On mine, it's Appetite for the Unnatural takes up two slots, and then it goes Dispel Natural State, and there's a gap. And
there
there's
is.
Release the Gremlins. And then on the other side, Beryl's Expertise starts one lower. So it's really bizarre looking. Wizards, fix that. I don't like it. I'm not even all that OCD. But anyway,
we've changed your formatting. Pray we do not change it further.
Yeah, right? At least all it looks right for the most part, other than that. So that's the ninth place deck. The entire rest of the top 32 are the same five decks. The three variations of black-green and Mardu Vehicles, and the two variations of the Crazy Cat Lady deck. That's it. I'm going through one more time just in case I was wrong. And of course, a bunch of these have different, you know, different pieces in it, but they're still the same damn decks.
Look, this is a very healthy metagame. There are between three and five decks you can play.
Three and six, if you count the two different.
Okay. Three and six.
Clues, what are you talking about? There's no mono red deck.
And you have your choice of mana bases. It's mostly black green.
Pretty much. So yeah, the current standard meta, as we were saying before, it's like the South. You've got NASCAR, you've got Crazy Cat Ladies, and you've got people wearing hats. That's the closest I could get for black green.
Wow. I could have said mold. You didn't want to acknowledge the swamp or anything, did you?
Yeah, I could have said, I could have said mold.
That would have been terrible.
I mean, it's very humid down here. We get mold in the South, right? That's how that works.
So what it comes down to is, do you like the card Fatal Push? If so, play a black-green deck. If not, Crazy Cat Lady for you.
Pretty much. Now,
boom.
Remember, this is just the first the first week after the Pro Tour. So, of course, it's going to be a bunch of copycat decks. Like, that's normal.
Well, no. There are black-green ones, too.
Sorry, a bunch... Jeez. A bunch of decks that are just the decks from the Pro Tour. It's,
right.
Yeah. The problem is, there's not a, day two meta or anything article. So we can't see how the rest of the place lined up. Like, past the top 32.
But there is a top five moments, and Wolverine showed up.
I saw that.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, you didn't see that. Oh, go click on the top five moments. Okay. And moment number five, just go ahead, take a look. It's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow.
That's,
can be anyone.
Including
As long as the anyone is Wolverine, yes.
Including a very, very convincing Wolverine.
Who appeared on camera in the feature match area. It was great.
Nice. I wonder if they knew that when they put him on camera.
I do not know. All I know is that social media noticed, like, a lot.
Yeah, well.
Nice.
I mean, Wolverine versus the Citrus Assassin sounds like a comic.
I mean, from the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, by the time the mid-80s rolled around, they were starting to get dark. Yeah, Wolverine versus the Citrus Assassin. Yeah, late 70s, yeah.
Yeah, around the time we thought that Dazzler was a good idea.
Yeah.
The Dazzler.
Sorry. The Dazzler and Longshot.
Appropriately named.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten about Longshot. Okay, great.
I would just like to take a moment to remind everyone that Elongated Man is a real hero in the DC Universe.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah, and there's one of your problems with the DC Universe.
It's a pretty big one.
So, yeah, there you go. That's terrifying, and I'm going to close that now. But, I mean, the meta is a thing right now, in theory. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, the meta will something. Someone
go
will come
crazy.
Up with...
Don't mind if it does.
Like, someone will come up with a more different deck that can beat one of these three. Right?
I'm hoping for a mono red deck.
I mean, Mardu's probably going to be our best bet for that kind of thing for a little bit.
And it's really red-white with, well, no, I guess now they've got Fatal Push. Before, the Mardu Vehicles decks were really just red-white with Unlicensed Disintegration and Scrap Heap Scrounger. So, hopefully something new will happen. But until then, since we are not here to predict the meta, I guess we're done with this Grand Prix, huh?
Seems likely.
Yeah, that was quick. Okay. Like, we assure you, we're not just running through it so we can play more Overwatch, I promise.
Nah.
Well, good night, everybody.
Magic over. Nothing else happened, right? Like, nobody cares.
Well, unfortunately, no, this other thing happened.
Actually, by the way, since the question was asked earlier, I did go take a quick check. The last standard GP in the U.S. had 1,568 players.
Where was that?
That was in Denver.
Okay. Seems low for Denver, too. Maybe not, though. Okay. So let's see. On the 9th, something big happened. Elaine Bourgeot, what is her deal? She's the director of global organized play or something like that.
I believe so.
Yeah, titles don't really matter. If you're listening to this, you know who she is.
She's a wizard.
She's a wizard, and she's the boss of this sort of thing.
If she punches you, you'll know.
Yeah, you will. She has bling for days, and it's dangerous. So she announced a couple of things. Nationals are coming back. What?
Huh?
Yep, national tournaments will be held all around the world on one of the following weekends, September 9th, 16th, or 23rd. And they are replacing the World Magic Cup qualifiers, right?
Guys. Replacing them, like, entirely?
Well, yeah, because the World Magic Cup qualifiers used to be how you got on the team. But now, the World Magic Cup, the team captain will be the top pro point earner for that season. The other two slots, yes, just two, will be the top two finishers at Nationals. So they are replacing the WMCQs with Nationals. So yay. But the WMCQ program helped build up, what's the word I'm looking for? An infrastructure of tournament organizers and whatnot in all of these countries. So now just sliding into Nationals. I mean, it's almost just a name change. Except
That's why I was hesitating when you asked, because I'm like, aren't the same people doing it? It looked like they were. They're just shifting the brand back in the other direction.
Well, that, and now there's only going to be the one tournament, it looks like.
Yeah.
So if you make it to the finals of your Nationals, congratulations, you're in the World Magic Cup.
Good job.
So that's pretty neat. To participate in their Nationals, players will still need to accrue a certain number of Planeswalker points by the end of the yearly award season, which is May 28th this year. The threshold differs based on the size of the country, blah, 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 all the stuff that you already know. Okay. And if you don't know that, well, then you've looked it up, or it's linked here. You can go look it up. But yeah, they're going back to the three-person team because apparently having the four-person team caused enough sort of awkwardness amongst teams that they're just not going to do that anymore.
Right, because inevitably one person ends up being the coach, which means, yeah, they can help out, but they don't get to play. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, and if they're still splitting the prize money four ways for just kind of standing back and watching or, you know, throwing out some advice, I can see that being a small problem.
Yeah, there's just a lot of room for tension.
Yeah, so not anymore. Now there's three of you, you're all playing. Shut up. Also, they're going back to Standard.
That's not too surprising.
Yeah, rather than Team Unified Modern. Well, they said they liked Team Unified Modern. But,
Well, now that we've got rock, paper, scissors set up, we may as well go ahead and use it.
Team Unified Modern doesn't mean anything to people watching. We're not going to go play Team Unified Modern later with our friends. It's not happening. But Standard generates, you know, decks to talk about. You know, whether or not it's sort of its own magical little metagame, you can still pull that and actually use it in something. And that's probably more exciting for people watching. Also, it's really annoying to see in the Twitch chat, like, why are they running blank card? Because people are stupid.
Well, that, and if they don't realize that Team Unified Modern is actually a completely different format than Modern.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem, this is the thing I've learned since I started streaming, is that you'll answer a question, and then 5 minutes later, a new person will show up and ask the question.
Yeah.
And then 15 minutes later, a third person will show up and ask the question. And then an hour later, another person will show up and ask the question, and you start going...
That is the noise you make.
Yeah.
Well, this is the same problem that commentators for Magic coverage have. They never know when someone new has joined, so they have to repeat things.
Right. But they don't have to look at the chat, which is where, you know...
Thank God for that.
The horribleness happens.
Yeah. But yeah, so essentially they're going to go back to a format that people actually play. And cool.
Pretty much.
I will say that the unified formats also tend to result in strange deck things where it's like, oh, well, due to the colors in the mana base, you actually don't get as much variety. You would think that creating a really restrictive format like that would result in a wide variety of strange things, but no. Like, oh, well, you know, I don't really have all the colors, so I guess I'll just make the Eldrazi deck, and then you guys have fun. It got pretty silly last time.
A little bit.
All right, so other stuff's happening.
Yeah, so you remember on Sundays at Grand Prix, they used to do these Sunday Super Series?
Yep.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan to drown out Legacy coverage.
That is the idea.
Well, not anymore, because they don't do that anymore. But
well,
now,
they don't
cover Legacy at all, certainly not.
Exactly. But now, on Sundays at Grand Prix, instead of doing Sunday Super whatever nonsense, what they're doing... is a Pro Tour qualifier.
Huh.
And yeah.
You mean
you
a
heard
PPTQ?
That right. Not a PPTQ, not a PP, not a PTQQ.
Not a PDQ? Not a, no chicken?
No chicken, no liver, no meow mix. Oh, sorry.
Do they deliver?
No, it's just a straight up PTQ.
So like you win, you go to the Pro Tour?
You go to the Pro Tour.
Whoa, I wish they did that all the time.
Yeah, so this is Sundays at GPs now. The events will be first come, first served, and will have a maximum capacity of 225.
Yep.
Now, according to a Twitter conversation that I got tagged in this morning, the TOs have the option to run a single tournament or 8 32-player flights. And I guess the winner of those 32-person flights, each of those becomes the top 8, I guess?
That would make sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I guess they can do that.
Terrible. Which one?
The 832 people flights.
No, that's easy.
No, that does sound miserable.
From a standpoint of the organizer, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the judges here, because then...
Yeah, well, no one cares about the judges. What from the player's standpoint, that's probably better.
I care about the judges, sir.
Don't lie.
It's just me.
But taking the broader look and not... the whiny judges. Evan Irwin even replied, honestly, I would have just launched it as the 8X 32-man pods to a top 8 playoff. Will anyone choose the 225? And, I mean, how many rounds would it be for a 32-person pod?
Clues. Five.
Yeah.
It'd be 5 rounds. Okay, how many rounds would it be for a 225-player tournament?
Bunches?
8 or 9.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you only do it once.
Yeah, but no, you run them all concurrently. You don't wait for one to fire and then start another one. No. You get everybody signed up and you divvy them up into 32 man pods and you just go. I'm sure from a running it standpoint.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not as simple as you make that sound.
Why not?
Well, cause it's not.
Okay, why not?
Okay, so now I have 8 tournaments that I'm starting all simultaneously who are all going to try and report at the same time. Which means getting them all turned over is going to be tricky at best unless I have a lot more scorekeepers than I normally do. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just saying you make it sound like, oh yeah, that's easy. No. There's more to it than that.
It's the same number of people reporting in at the same time.
Yeah, but the logistics of having 8 different sets of pairings.
I mean, I
getting
understand
those tournaments
that.
Ended, getting them printed out. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm just saying that it's. You make it sound like it's trivial, and I do not describe
well,
it
well, admittedly,
trivial.
If you're doing it by flight, it does have the advantage of as people scrub out of the big event, if they haven't filled them all in immediately, then they don't have to wait for 225 people to start. So that
although
helps.
They probably still should, just so it's all done at once, and you can find your top 8 and
yeah.
all that.
But like if they only have like 160 of them or whatever. Whatever the math comes out to be, like they could just start and then not be like, well, you're late and then turn away all that extra money. They can then continue if they need to.
Yeah, I really feel like they'll just stagger start these.
But we'll see what they do. Like either way, like I only mentioned it as weird because they have a choice and I was just wondering what they would choose to do. So we'll see what they actually do in practice. It's nice to have the option.
Now, John Temple was the stage manager at GP Pit. Hey, buddy. I don't know if you listen. But he said the PTQ top 8 was complete at around 7:30 or 8 o'clock, which on Sunday sounds about right, right?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
So also, there you go. Hi, John.
Hey, buddy. So that's really cool. That's amazing. That's brilliant that now there's straight up one-shot PTQs at GPs. That's a whole nother reason to get people to go to GPs. Because the Super Sunday series was novel, it was neat, but
I miss normal PTQ.
I miss legacy coverage.
I miss,
MASH?
Clues.
Oh, hey, I'm back.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
Well, that worked out for you.
Yeah.
There's more news.
Hey, did you see that eclipse last week?
No, actually, because apparently I was driving.
Yeah.
Like, home. And when I got home, it started. And when I went, hey, I wonder when the eclipse is, and looked it up, like, a little while later, it was over.
Yeah, I missed it because I was watching Shakespeare. But, you know, it was just a penumbral one anyway, so.
Is he still dead?
Were you in the park?
No. No, I was in a theater. I went to see
Pericles. Was there a park nearby?
Yes, I guess.
Okay, that's close enough then.
Okay.
You went to see what?
Pericles.
2 of them then.
Yeah, both of them. It was actually really good. I'd never seen Pericles before, and I very much enjoyed it. So if you get a chance, go see Pericles.
I've only seen the like John Cleese. I've never seen a pair of them.
Have you ever seen him in person?
John Cleese?
Yeah.
He's still alive, right?
As far as I know.
Oh, okay.
Now we've said it out loud. Oh, man, don't blame us.
I mean, you can blame me.
I didn't do an impersonation of him. We're fine.
Blame
Chile. That's true, yeah. Okay, so yeah, there's more.
There is more, yes.
You remember Grand Prix trials?
Hey, I do. Those almost never had a lot of people in them.
Well, yeah, now they're...
Not lately.
Well, now they're done.
Great.
In-store GPTs, that is. The yeah. ones tied to GP Las Vegas will be the last ones. It says, while some good was accomplished by having Grand Prix trials in local stores, more often than not, this program had mixed success... And limited turnout.
Yeah, it's that limited turnout part that I think was the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, now, GPTs are kind of dumb.
Yeah. Now, GPTs will still be happening on site on Fridays at Grand Prix because, duh.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
That makes sense. They're essentially last chance for buys.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because you're already at the event. the problem with GPTs in your store is that you win. Great. You have credit for an event that might be in another state.
Yeah.
Kind of sucked. But if you don't go to a Grand Prix with buys, you're at a giant disadvantage. So it's kind of an extra barrier to entry. If you really truly think you've got a shot at winning the tournament, buys offer a very significant advantage to your tiebreakers. You also get to play less and you get to sleep later. And there's just so much going for it that you really want them, to the point where you would actually participate in a dumb tournament that's main prize is a better shot at another tournament.
You also get the advantage of being able to tune your deck more for the actual meta, because the first three rounds of the Grand Prix are just anything goes. Like, you could run into Joe Schmo with his mono purple nonsense deck that your deck literally has no way to win against because you tailored your deck to
beat Obzon, and you were ready to beat Obzon, and Obzon is 70% of the field, and then the first three rounds you run into Jeskai Ascendancy combo and you lose. Like, ouch.
Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry for the coughing. I am still sick. And if I mute, unfortunately, the way that my recording's set up, in case you guys are wondering, why doesn't he mute when he's coughing? It's because when I mute, the way that my recording setup is, it's still gonna go through the mic. Like, Bill and Clues won't hear it, but dear listeners, you still will. So I apologize for that. If I had a quick way to kill my microphone, I would, but it's not worth the danger.
I meant to mention before the show, but now that we're into the show, it's too, that I'm going to mention it now. Last week's show, there were a couple of system sounds that made it into the recording.
System sounds?
Yeah, like notification noises.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for bringing that up right now in the middle of the show.
Yeah, hey, you're welcome. So, listeners, if there are more notification noises in this episode, something, tweet something. I don't know.
Blame Jack. All right.
Oh, yeah, Jack.
So, okay, that's
the news here. Yeah.
Right.
So now we've got more different news. Elaine Chase just today released an article that's what's in store for in-store play.
All right.
You get it?
Yeah.
And they're doing lots of new stuff. They're going to try lots of new things and experiment and throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
Yep.
And actually, the link to that will be in the show notes. Also, the link to the Wizards Play Network article, What's New with Amonkhet, will also be in there, where this stuff goes into more detail.
Yeah.
So we've got four new programs for Amonkhet. We've got the Magic Open House. I'm not going to lie. I didn't actually read any of these.
Would you like me to talk about it?
And that's why I'm going to pass it over to Bill.
Okay. So generally speaking, when you associate new sets coming out, there's a pre-release. And then a week after that, there's the first FNM where people get a chance to actually, buy the cards and then draft the special promo card and all that stuff. Well, to start the hype a week earlier, they're going to start doing Magic Open House, which will take place a week before the pre-release. This will be on Saturdays. And it's set up to be a really chill, casual event to bring in new players, give people a chance to learn things, and then presumably be invited to come back the next week for the pre-release to sort of hype the train a week earlier. So what it's going to be is going to be a really chill, casual, league-style standard play, and there's going to be a participation promo. So here's what's going to happen. You show up for this event. You sign up. You play. You're going to have welcome decks as part of the event kit. Does anyone know exactly what a welcome deck is? Is that the newest name for like the simple learn how to play decks?
Unclear.
I've heard them called welcome decks before.
Yeah, I certainly haven't.
We have not.
I think they, are the welcome decks intended that if a new player shows up, you can literally give them a deck that they can play in their standard event?
Well, it says, now, when it says your kits, this means the store kit, not what the players get.
Yeah. No, I understand that. It's just, this seems to be tied to the Magic Open House, which is the league style standard play. So is it intended that if someone shows up, here's your welcome deck, now you can play with these guys?
So read the paragraph. It says, start by introducing new players. Now remember, these are written for the store owners and TOs and whatnot, right? Start by introducing new players to the game and welcoming them into your Magic community with learn-to-play sessions using the welcome decks that will be provided in your kits.
Okay.
So I think these might be, like Bill said, the new name for the thing that hooked clues so long ago at PAX.
Yeah, I think you may be right, particularly since the next paragraph says, culminate your day with a casual standard event that encourages new players to test their new decks and meet the community.
Yeah.
And so we're going to hope, first of all, that the casual standard event is very clearly established as don't bring your awesome $800 standard deck and crush these people that are learning how to play. You'll probably use the welcome decks, even though it doesn't say that.
Still otherwise, that's going to happen, though.
Terrible. But more to the point.
Do you know why it's still going to happen?
Oh, yeah, I'm about to say it. Right. So, you know, you're supposed to, after each round, invite them to come back. And so how are we going to get veteran players to show up for these things? We are going to bribe them. So, you know, when you're hosting this event, and again, this is for the store owners, they'll get 20 welcome decks and 25 premium, meaning foil, full art basic lands, 5 of each, from Amonkhet to use as rewards for both new players and veteran players who bring a friend. Note that it says veteran players who bring a friend. So given the nature of Magic players loving full art land.
And we do.
And loving promo land.
And we do.
And loving things where there are only going to be 5 of each type at your store. This is a giant incentive for veteran players to bring new people along because they're going to want these lands. And what this means is if you convince, you know, your friend to come along, you're both going to get a neat fancy card, and then we're going to hope that you kind of aren't a jerk about it and try to get them to give you the fancy card they just got. But regardless. Yeah.
And we also want the stores to not just treat these as a prize to whoever wins, because that's just going to make spike behavior.
Yeah, and so that's why this creates an interesting environment, because these things are probably not going to be super accessible. You can't just show up like you do for every other event and get on like a list early and then just, you know, go to all 5 of them or whatever, like a pre-release, and collect the whole set. No, these are things that you actually have to bring friends and bring new people. And they're kind of, I guess, putting the burden on the stores to honor that. We will see, but I think it's nice that they're trying to encourage people with a super chill, casual event. I just think that throwing in something that is going to mean very little to new players and a whole lot to veteran players might muddle the message a bit. But if it works, then great. New people are introduced to the game. That's awesome. If this is going on at your store, I recommend you try to show up anyway. I mean, even if you don't have someone new to bring, that they're obviously going to be teaching people how to play. Extra people around who know how to play would be helpful. I'm sure your store people would appreciate the resource. I mean, talk to them first. Like, hey, I would like to help teach people. They, you know, let them handle that for you. But it's a new and different thing, and we'll see if it works. It being a week before the pre-release is going to be kind of interesting, because like, hey, you, new people, learn how to play. And then next week, we're all on the same page of not knowing what these cards do. So that's kind of nice.
Well, it's still a little unclear to me if any of the cards from the Magic Open House will be the new set, or if this is literally just, let's get new people learning how to play Magic before they come to the pre-release, so that it's at least not their first experience with the rules.
I'm pretty confident there are not going to be any cards from the new set in it other than those lands, which are not playable, because, I mean, they're calling it a casual standard event, and it won't be standard yet.
Right.
So if they were to use these to actually get new cards into circulation, that would actually be a mistake. So yeah. I don't think they're going to make that mistake just yet.
Also, it wouldn't surprise me if these welcome decks are indeed just those 30-card, you know, monocolored learn-how-to-thing decks.
Yeah, which are probably not even going to have keywords in them. So, or not, you know, non-evergreen keywords.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Nothing but ability words as far as the eye can see.
That would be terrifying. All right, so up next then, draft weekend. You guys remember a minute ago when I talked about launch weekend, which is?
Nope.
Cool. Well, once upon a time, after a pre-release, you would wait a week and then you could buy stuff and they'd have a launch party. And that was awesome because it was like another tournament, but that doesn't matter anymore. Cause then they went to, well, the first F&M, once a set is legal. So, you know, the Friday following the new set coming out, they would do a booster draft and you'd get an extra promo card for participating in that.
On the Friday of a set coming out.
The Friday after the pre-release, which is the first Friday of the set coming out.
There you go.
Yes. And so they're still doing that. Cool. But in addition to that, they are sort of, they're trying to build hype for the, how does this work exactly? I read this three times and I'm still confused.
Yeah. Okay. So the way it used to work is during your, used to work is you had a launch party, but that hasn't really happened for a while. Then it just became, okay, here's what we're going to do. We've got some promo cards that you can give out to the people who play FNM launch Friday. But there really wasn't a big deal made out of it. It's just you'd be playing and suddenly a judge would come around and hand you a card and you're like, oh, cool, what's this? And they're like, hey, that's for playing tonight. Enjoy. Well, now they want to make it so let's not do that during FNM. Let's do some draft events. So now they're still sending a foil promo card for your launch weekend festivities, but your launch weekend festivities are meant to be draft, and those draft events that you're scheduling can't be the ones that were scheduled during FNM.
Right. So that's the weird part. So yeah, FNM will be a normal Friday Night Magic where they have promos for Friday Night Magic of that month to give out.
Right.
And you won't just automatically get the special thing. But if you go to a draft outside of Friday Night Magic, then you can qualify for this premium foil promo card instead, which, you know, is supposed to be scheduled Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah. And they can be loves drafting, essentially, right?
Everyone what?
Loves drafting, right?
No. Presumably.
I mean, lots of people who would go to this sort of thing love drafting, right?
Yeah, I hear it's very popular, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting that them having it on nights that aren't the Friday Night Magic. I'll be interested in seeing how frequently that happens, because by this point you just did a pre-release weekend and then you did Friday Night Magic, presumably.
And come back Saturday and draft and get a shiny card. Okay. I mean,
no, that's cool if it fires.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of stores that don't fire those drafts if they're not Friday night, but that's going to depend on your local play area, I guess. Like, I've been to a lot of stores where like FNM, they're like, oh yeah, like tons of people show up. And then they'll say, all right, and then we do a Saturday night draft and like a Sunday afternoon draft, and those things just don't fire because people don't have the time and money to just go draft all weekend in the store, in every store. So as long as they organize it properly, like most of them will probably say, and then we're doing a special promo once over the weekend, or maybe twice if it's a giant superstore. But check with your store, see when it's going on, see when they're scheduling things. They're probably not just going to fire whenever they have eight people, but if that's the nature of your store, they might.
So we're going to draft at Walmart because it's a superstore.
I mean, you could try to draft at Walmart, but I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't recommend
I would not recommend that. No. Okay.
Don't draft in places that sell firearms.
That's good advice.
Yeah. Hey, look.
Wait, I live in the South where, like, your local card shop and ABC store and gun store are basically all in the same building.
I mean, yeah. They keep each other in check. It's like a rock, paper, scissors thing.
Oh, so it's like standard.
Yeah. So like, gun beats alcohol. Alcohol beats magic. Magic beats gun, right? Right?
I think you might have that slightly backwards.
Some of those are not quite right.
Oh, but don't listen to me. You'll die. Hey, look.
Yeah, it's no big deal for Squee. Hey, look, Magic Leagues.
Magic Leagues. You guys know what Magic Leagues are, right?
Well, we do. I don't know about the listeners, though.
Right. So, Magic Leagues, very briefly, are this idea that you go to your store, you, essentially, rather than having a tournament that has consecutive rounds that each, you know, are roughly an hour apart, you show up whenever you can and there's another person in the league and you play, and then, you know, the records are stored over the course of generally several weeks, possibly months.
And this one says 4 weeks.
Yeah, this will be a 4 weeks one. So the Magic League for Amaket is going to be May 1st, 2017 and run for 4 weeks. It's supposed to be quick start and casual. It's supposed to be good for everybody. Here you go, though. For this one, you'll sign up for the program and, or I guess the people running this event will sign up in Wizards Events Reporter. They'll get 30 match cards, 30 collection. Does this matter to anybody but
No, the logistics of it, don't worry about it. The point is leagues. Did you guys like leagues? We're having leagues.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah. And this gives your more casual players a reason to come hang out at your store because, hey, I'm in the league. If anybody needs to play, I'm sitting here. And someone will be like, hey, you want to get a league game in? I'll be like, yeah, hell yeah. And then they play a league game and then they report it. And now there's two people hanging out at your store. And if someone else comes, hey, I need a league game. Hey, we're both in the league. And it's nice.
Yeah, it's also nice if you're busy on Fridays and you want to play Magic.
Yeah, or if at least in some places.
You're busy doing something else on Fridays, but you still want to play Magic. Yes, what he meant.
I was going to say in some places your FNMs start obscenely early for people who actually have jobs at normal hours.
Dude, I used to hate that. I used to get off at 5:30 at one of my old jobs, and it was a 20-ish minute drive to the place. So if there was any delay at all at 6 o'clock, then I don't get to play.
Yeah.
Because they already started. It's terrible.
Yeah.
And there was another store where they started at 5. I'm like, who shows up for this?
Students.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. All right.
So there you go. It's, I think having in-store leagues is a good thing, especially if they're sanctioned. Like, lots of stores already do leagues.
Yeah.
I think Lucky's, back when Lucky's was a thing. Oh, I miss Lucky's. Had a Commander League for a while at one point. So yeah, leagues are cool. They are good. But we're not done yet.
No. There's way more stuff.
I wish we were done.
Yeah, so I guess moving on. Standard Showdown, Amonkhet. So last fall, they tried out a new thing called Standard Showdown. And they thought it was really successful. So they're going to be extending it to 8 weeks beginning on May 6th. And for Standard Showdown, essentially the idea is that rather than winning normal stuff, you win these Standard Showdown packs, which are, you know, done in your local store. And they're sort of a weird grab bag of neat stuff as a way of getting potentially super rare things. So when you open a Standard Showdown pack, they have three cards. And one of the cards is essentially a foil card from a current Standard legal set, which at present can include the special bonus things like, you know, Zendikar Expeditions or Kaladesh Inventions or stuff like that. We don't know what the weird gimmick for Amonkhet is, but it's probably going to be like tomb cards or something equally dumb.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll see what it is.
Buried treasures? Tomb Raider.
Oh,
open a pack, get Lara Croft.
Oh, man, that'd be weird. So one premium card of that, and then two rare or mythic rare non-foil cards from a current Standard legal set. And so these are essentially like getting three packs, but only getting the card you actually care about out of those packs.
Right.
Yeah. And the super rare cards, like I mentioned before, the Expeditions or the Inventions or the Lara Crofts, appear in roughly 1 in 33 boosters, so your odds are actually better out of these things than they would be just opening packs. So they're going to keep doing that with Amonkhet. They said that they discovered that the scheduling before was considered too restrictive, so they're opening it up to occur on either Saturdays or Sundays, not counting game day weekend. So check with your local store to see when those events are happening.
Sick.
Oh, man, we're not done yet. This article goes forever.
I mean, yeah, we are. This last thing is just the normal thing.
Is it?
And it's for stores. It's not anything special.
Oh, you're right. Well, then ignore that.
Yeah.
It's weird reading news off the WPN site because it has all these things that aren't actually relevant to most people.
Yeah.
But it's where they post information that they don't post on the real website for some reason.
But it's probably on a Tumblr somewhere.
I don't believe
one of the many, many Tumblrs that are official sources of Magic news. Thanks, Wizards.
If only there were a website where they could put all this stuff together. You know, that they ran.
Oh.
If only. Now, there is one more thing, actually, that's not in our show notes. This was tweeted at me last night. by, who tweeted that? Volrath Bane. Thanks, buddy. It is, where's the show notes? Where is the show note, plural? There. modern. Okay. So this is a Blogatog post, speaking of Tumblr.
Makes it a Rosewater post.
It is a Rosewater Tumblr post that, okay, so It starts with a quote. No, a lot of people play Modern. We have no plans of eliminating the format. The question is, then why are we seeing Wizards moving away from the format in regards to major events? Without this exposure, competitive formats grow stale and people slash shops lose interest. Extended followed a similar path. That is why people are worried. So apparently, since they're pulling a lot of things, or Modern, away from a lot of things and going back to Standard, Morrow answered as such. We have zero high-level Commander events, and the format is thriving. The two aren't necessarily linked. I've seen the numbers. Modern is doing just fine. The high-profile events are considered marketing. They are literally paid for with marketing dollars. So one of the responsibilities of, say, Pro Tour Aether Revolt is to get players excited for Aether Revolt and its three-deck format. He didn't add that last part. I did. It's a lot harder to do that playing a format where only a handful of Aether Revolt cards might show up. Also, the pros have told us they prefer formats with more opportunity to innovate, which is harder with larger, less evolving formats. Correct. Remember the last Modern Pro Tour? Eldrazi.
But that was so innovative.
Yeah. The reason we focused more on Modern for a while was to help get awareness for it as a new format, to help build it up and get it going. But it's done that. It's no longer a young, struggling format. It's a mature format with many fans and a lot of play. It's going to be just fine without a major spotlight on it. So this is a look into another reason that they have pulled away from Modern and, of course, Legacy. It's because they
hate Legacy.
They hate Legacy. They hate Modern. They're going to kill both formats. No, their Standard is the fresh one. Standard is the one that changes more often in theory. And it's the one where they can showcase more new stuff and make people go buy more new stuff. Wizards doesn't make any money when you buy a brand new Modern or Legacy deck from your store. They make no money. Wizards makes money when the store buys lots and lots and lots of boxes of the new set so that then you can buy singles from Standard.
Yes. That is, in fact, so, the beast.
Yeah. And now, and it's, I mean, I don't say that like, oh, they're the evil money-grubbing corporation. No, they're just a corporation, so that's where money comes from. You know, that's what they do.
Remember that anytime you see something related to Magic and it's not the physical contents of the pack, it's marketing.
It's marketing.
And
it's
exactly even the last card in your pack on the back of your token is marketing. The entire infrastructure of Magic the Gathering beyond sitting there and playing with your friends at the table is marketing. And yes, anything that does not contribute to that end will not get the support of marketing.
Exactly. And, I mean, Modern is huge. There are a lot of people who, I'm just a Modern player. So, yeah, Modern is fine. They've already pulled out of the Pro Tours because Modern's not good for Pro Tours, let's be honest. And now they're backing it off on things like the World Magic Cup because it's just not all that. So it's fine. Modern's alive. As far as Wizards is concerned, and as far as the Mark Rosewater mouthpiece is saying, Modern's fine. They're not killing Modern. Frontier isn't taking over. In fact, there's something about GP Pit that we didn't talk about involving Frontier. Clues, do you remember what that was? I think you mentioned
yeah,
it before the show.
Yeah, so I had this open in a tab from, of course, the other official news source for all things Magic, which is Reddit. Apparently, and I cannot prove this, this is all conjecture and hearsay, I was not there, did not see it, etc., etc. Supposedly, of the three Frontier side events that were offered at GP Pit, none of them launched with eight or more players.
Now, if you were at GP Pit and know this for a fact, then please do tweet at us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Calm down. Modern's fine. They've realized that Modern is not as good a marketing tool as Standard. And if you think about it, you will know that that is correct.
So that's right. You heard us correctly. Wizards hates everything you love and are going to destroy it.
Yes. And then they're going to pry your Standard cards out of your cold, dead hands.
That's right.
Or something. I live in the South. I hear cold, dead hands all the time. So yeah, there you go. Now let's move on.
Okay.
Well, we're done. So Magic Online news?
Yeah. All right. So Magic Online news. Let's see how much ground we can cover here. So obligatory disclaimer, every Tuesday they post Magic Online news. We are doing a podcast on a Monday, so most of our news is old.
This is a problem.
However, They then went and posted stuff today after I said there wasn't a lot of Magic Online news because why hold a schedule, right? So
I do remember you saying that, and then I just a minute ago scrolled down to the Magic Online news and went
where I was adding news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? All right. So powering through here, Magic Online news, the article that I'm linking to for last Tuesday, it's there in case you want to see stuff. It's got a few event information. It doesn't really matter that much because most of that's already passed. Let's go to the Magic Online Championship. Magic Online Championship, big fun online tournament. People who have already qualified for it. The link in the show notes will tell you who is in it. If you're interested in watching these people play through, the event will take place on, I believe, the 3rd to the 5th of March. They somehow make that take 3 days. Yes, the 3rd to the 5th of March. These people are the ones who have won essentially each of the monthly Magic Online Championship Series events, which they call MOX because they think they're cute and it just makes it really confusing to talk about. But they're playing for their share of a $116,000 prize pool, making them potentially the only people who will play Magic Online and not lose more than they paid. Potentially, they probably still do. But yeah, that's going on. So everyone who makes it there will get, at least $4,000. The winner will get $25,000, an invite to the 2017 Magic World Championship, an invite to compete in next year's Magic Online Championship, and platinum status in the Pro Tour Players Club. So if you're interested in high stakes Magic Online, check it out. Some of these people you might recognize, but I'm not going to read off the list. So got that going on. I've got an additional link that has more details on the championship, in case you're curious about how you can qualify for the Magic Online Championships in the future. Got a bug blog, which went out last week. I'm saving the big news for last because it's fun that way. So
nice.
Here are the new issues in the bug blog. Cards exiled by the triggered abilities of a number of cards which exile a card from their controller's library appear to be coming from the opponent's library instead. Think about that.
Wait.
This affects cards such as Bomat Courier, Windbrisk Heist, as in, you know, the entire hideaway mechanic, and other similar cards. It's a display issue only. So I want you to think about how that works. So when you exile a card in Magic Online, it puts it in an exile pile. Cool. Well, now it's putting it in your opponent's exile pile instead. This isn't affecting anything in the game. It's just really confusing and funny. I don't know how they did that, because presumably these things don't cross over, given you can never have your cards interact with their cards like that. But good job, guys. It's a glitch. And here's something that's funny. Animate Dead, the card that is really easy to understand and really impossible to actually write the rules text for.
Accurate.
Yeah, the way that the card actually functions is you put your enchantment on a thing in the graveyard, and now it's on the battlefield as long as it's got the enchantment. It's awesome. It's a zombie. Go for it. And the rules text, we don't have 20 minutes. But here's what it does right now in Magic Online. It does not attach to the creature that it targets when cast. So as a result, both the enchantment and targeted creature immediately go to the graveyard. So rather than animate dead, you're throwing an enchantment in the graveyard.
Wow. For only, what, 2 mana?
Yeah, two mana, you can flash something into play from your graveyard, and then it goes back to your graveyard. It's like a corpse blink effect, because the enchantment keeping it alive doesn't stay, and so it immediately dies again. I don't actually know what the best corollary to that would be, short of, like, if Gravedigger were to go dig something up and go, no, I don't want it, and put it back.
This one's terrible.
This is awful. I thought I was getting a Thrag Tusk. I'm going to take these things, but I'm not happy about it. In its own weird way, Animate Dead is still good. It's kind of ridiculous. So those are the bugs. And for a full rundown of all the currently known bugs, you can click on the link in the show notes. You should be aware of what does and doesn't work, because while you can request reimbursement if you are the receiving end of a bug, if it turns out you accidentally do something that advantages you or gives you an edge in a match that takes advantage of a bug, you could be considered cheating, so just avoid the headache and know what's working and what isn't. It'll also tell you as they fix things. They put these out every 2 to 3 weeks, so just go check it out. And finally, just posted today, so if you were paying attention to Monday Night Magic last year, you heard me regularly talk about all the flashback drafts that they did, the Year of Modern. And they did that for a whole year, and then they pretty much ran out of Modern. They got almost to the present for sets. So for this year, they're doing a mixture of different throwback events. Some of them are just like, you know, draft formats. Other ones are going to be gauntlet events, which means rather than drafting a deck, you'll be given a phantom deck, meaning you don't get to keep the cards. And it's going to consist of a deck that has participated in some major event or standard format in the past so that you can play the way things used to be, as it were. And they didn't really flesh out what formats would be covered in those at the time of announcement. But since we're going to finally get over the release of the Aether Revolt set online, they're going to give us a new throwback standard gauntlet league. And this one's going to start on February 22nd. So not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. And it's going to run until March 1st downtime. So it's going to be about a week. And this one is going to be Mirage Tempest, which most of you have never played, I promise. How long ago was that, Julie? Because it was way before me.
Wait a minute. Tempest, release date.
Oh, I'll just tell you. It's 1997 to 98. Because I scrolled down. It was a long time ago. It was 20 years ago. Think about that. So they have posted in the link that I put in the show notes the decks that you can get. And I'm not familiar with these, so I'm not going to give you the level of discussion I would have if it was a format that I'd actually played in. But I'm going to read the names to you to give you an idea of what they were. So we've got Dead Guy Red. We've got Draw Go, which you may have heard if you've ever talked to a blue player. They have White Weenie, which probably actually just has a picture of Craig Wesco on it. You got Prose Bloom. You got
Prosbloom.
Prosbloom, is it Prosbloom?
Yeah, it's the Prosperous.
Oh, right.
Cadaverous Bloom and Prosperity.
Prosperity. Yep, you're right. Prosbloom. Yeah. Cool. Then what is Rex Sir? Recurring Nightmare and Survival of the Fittest?
Yep.
Awesome. Survival of the Fittest is a fun card. If you got Squee, they don't though. sad times. There's Forbidian, because apparently back then you just made a portmanteau out of two cards in the deck. Is that just how they named everything?
Apparently.
It's Ophidian.
I don't even, I'm assuming it's a deck with Ophidian and Forbid, but that doesn't seem like a deck. That's weird.
No, it's got Manowar, Ophidian, nonsense. Yeah, it's blue. Clues hates it.
Hmm. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's got Capsize on it. Stop.
Yeah, yeah, I hate the blue.
You should. Seth. Hey, look, it's Godzilla.
I'm sorry, what?
Godzilla, it's a necro deck. It's got a bunch of necromancies and stuff, and a Sliver Queen. Yeah, watch out. So it's essentially a reanimator deck with Verdant Force and a bunch of other huge stuff. So have fun with that. You have Suicide Black, which is pretty self-explanatory. You keep attacking until they're dead or you're dead. Oath of Druids, which has Archangel in it. That's weird.
Well, options were limited back then.
That's true. Yeah, that's sort of the fun thing of looking back. Trade Wind, good stuff. Got that Wall of Blossoms. I blame Mike. And
like Trade Wind Rider?
Yes, three of them.
Oh my god. That card was okay, anyway, keep going.
Yeah, it's rocking that Necrotal and everything. So essentially, if you'd like to play with Magic decks from 20 years ago, but you don't want to dig up cards from 20 years ago, and you don't want to play a hypothetical format called Legacy that may or may not exist anymore, you can do this online, and you don't have to track down any cards. You just sign up, you'll be given one of these decks, and you'll be playing only against these other decks, and you can check it out. I am curious to see if any of these decks have a strange interaction due to the fact that they're playing under current Magic rules, and that may or may not affect some of their functionality. I haven't looked over all the cards here, but that'll be something to keep an eye on as we go through the standard gauntlets throughout the year. So as they make their way through 20 years of standard, starting with that one, I'll continue to tell you things. And when we get to standard decks I actually know, I will give commentary. So fun. And that's actually it for Magic Online.
That is really cool, though.
I like it as a direction. It'll be interesting to see how well people handle old cards and also It'll probably be fun nostalgia for people who used to play them, and some people will also get really bored in some formats. We'll see what happens. They can suffer through all the decks that we hated.
Just looking through these really makes me sad.
Like, what makes you sad, Joey?
Cause these were, man, dude, these were the best of the best back in the day. Like, this was the stuff. This was the meta, dude. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. And look, there's a deck that's running Shivan Dragon straight up. Not even ironically.
The reanimator one, right?
Yeah, the one named Godzilla.
Yeah.
That might be why it's named Godzilla, because between Shivan Dragon and Verdant Force, yeah.
Yeah, it seems likely. But hey, clues, you can get Dead Guy Red, you'd be happy, right?
Oh yeah.
You could run Jackal Pup.
Yeah, Dead Guy Red was terrifying back then. Also, so was Suicide Black. Good lord, dude. It's running Urgraders, for God's sake. What?
It's different. But yeah, there you go. So, check them out if you want to play old standard. And I can't wait till we get to like Time Spiral Block and the standards that I'm actually familiar with, because Time Spiral Block was weird. So it'll be fun. And I guess we're ready to wrap up.
Yeah, I guess so.
So you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinTheBob. There's no Iron Goblin because it's still sitting in a queue waiting for Frontier to start in Pittsburgh. It's asking someone to send food. It's getting very hungry and no one is there.
Oh, it's sort of like being at the payload.
Oh man, the payload gives you food though. There's cookies. But
not that anyone knows, because they're never
all mine. That's why I have objective time. But yeah, so that's me on Twitter. I don't really have any crazy events I'm going to soon. I just went to the circus a few times, so that was fun. If you want.
Oh yeah, how was the circus?
It was a lot of fun, actually. It was neat. Like, the circus has changed a lot since I was a kid. In the case of the one in Raleigh, the circus was on ice, first of all. And.
What?
Yeah, they did it on ice. They put out, like, mats and stuff for the animals, because obviously that'd be horrible. But, yeah, you got people doing all kinds of ice clown stuff, and they had 8 motorcycles riding around in a metal sphere. It was insane. You get all the trapeze, you get all that stuff. You get a guy hanging out with, you know, like 12 lions and tigers and stuff. That was pretty cool. People walking up on the ceiling, there's fireballs everywhere. They lit the ice on fire. It was pretty cool. So
that doesn't sound like science to me.
Science was happening somewhere. I presume it's what prevented people from falling when they were walking upside down, but I don't know. Maybe it was relative. Clues wasn't there to check the sky for me, so I don't actually know.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, so
you're not sorry.
I had fun with that, and I would recommend, if you get a chance to, like, this is the last year for the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, and so if you ever want to see that traveling circus, this is probably your last chance if it's coming to your area. After which point it will be gone forever. So there you have it. And that's all I got right now. So I'm going to hand things over to Clues.
All right. Hey, if you want to hear more from me, can't imagine why, but you can do that over on the Random Discard podcast, which is found right here on the MTG Cast Network, as well as our own website, which is randomdiscard.com. And hey, we've got a brand new episode that just went up. It took a while to edit because it is it is really long compared to our normal episodes. We usually clock in at just over an hour. This one's just shy of 2 hours because there's a super special interview in it. We're talking board games this time, and we talked to an actual game designer, a good friend of mine named Sean Fletcher. So there's that. So check it out. If you want to reach me directly, you can always do that on the Twitters. It is at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes.
What's a board game?
You know, video games?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had your internet go out and you can't play your video games online anymore?
Uh-huh.
So there are games that don't use the internet, and in fact, don't even use electronics, that you can play with these things I've heard people have called friends? Whatever those are.
But my friends are on the internet.
Actually, no. Yeah, that's where my friends live.
Yeah, well, then this might not be the episode for you.
Got it.
I like board games. They remind me that dice are cruel mistress.
I have been told that there are many board games that are actually really good. I've just never played any of the really good ones. I only played crap, like Life.
Yeah, there are some much better
The board games you grew up on were probably bad. Just letting you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were. Dear listeners, they were.
Your parents got you Monopoly.
Sorry.
Because they knew that if you started playing Monopoly, it would shut you up for like 5 hours and no one would ever finish. It's a trap.
I used to play Sorry. Well, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, so does that leave me?
That leaves you.
Yeah, man.
All right, then. You can follow me on Twitter at The Manipool. You can send me an email to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E. Not the hiccup, it's just C-H-E-W-I-E. Ignore the hiccup part. At either mtgcast.com or themanipool.com, whatever, they both go to the same place. Just send me an email. You can check out the YouTube channel over on youtube.com/C/themanipool. I put up our first Lethal League video, where me and Bill and, Scott, my old roommate and oldest friend, played Lethal League, which is Murder Pong.
It really is.
It's like tennis and dodgeball and, a fighting game all merged together.
It's and unlike nuts. Monday Night Magic, there's a lot of swearing because Candyman has a potty mouth.
Yeah, one of the characters, when he gets hit, he goes, "Damn it, damn it, damn it." I'm like, dude.
It's very strange. He's one of the only ones that talks.
And it's to swear.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's a strange game.
It is, but it's a lot of fun. And other stuff. I put up a Rogue Legacy video. Last week was terrible for content creation due to my ridiculous amount of driving and mental downtime. And, actually those are really it. And now I'm sick. So I'm having trouble being able to focus. It's kind of terrible. But that's okay because Overwatch. I mean because, Overwatch. Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, it's a problem. Also, if any of you are video game fans, PC game fans, that is, you should seriously consider looking up the Humble Freedom Bundle, over on humblebundle.com. It is $30 to unlock a truly staggering number of games, audiobooks, and even books. So, I mean, the top five are, well, yeah, the first five listed are The Witness, Stardew Valley, Subnautica, Day of the Tentacle, Day of the Tentacle Remastered, Overgrowth, and then it goes on, Nuclear Throne, Octodad, Super Meat Boy, World of Goo, The Stanley Parable, scroll, 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 VVVVVV, if you enjoyed watching me, rage at that game, The Swapper, there's a, The Little Gold Book of Ghastly Stuff by Neil Gaiman, that's not a game, that's a book.
It's an author.
And an author, yeah. Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball. And that's just a small helping. Like, there's a crap load of things here. And, let's see here. It supports the ACLU, the IRC, and the MSF. So that's the American Civil Liberties Union, Doctors Without Borders, and the International Rescue Committee. And Humble Bundle will match up to $300,000, which got hit almost immediately. As a matter of fact, it has now raised $1,626,531.
Wow.
$621. It just keeps counting up. So yeah, but it's a ridiculous $741. It's a ridiculous value for $30. I mean, just the first four, The Witness, Stardew Valley, Subnautica, and Day of the Tentacle, that's, let's see, The Witness I think is a $40 game, Stardew's like 20. So those two paid for it right there. And it just keeps going. Like I said, there's a mess of them that I didn't even mention. Some of these I've never heard of. Some of them I have heard of many, many times. Guacamelee. Ever heard of that one? That's pretty cool. No Time to Explain. That one's like $10 or $15 by itself. See what I mean? It's crazy. So yeah, if you are into PC games or charity, actually, if you're into charity, just give to charity if you don't do the PC gaming thing. But if you do the PC gaming thing, you should totally check this out. It is pretty insane. It just started today. It runs out in 6 days and 15 hours as of this recording. It's Monday. So it runs out next Sunday. Right? Right.
See?
All right then. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Also, I stream on twitch.tv/themanipool on occasion. Like today, it was Overwatch. By tomorrow, when I do Tuesday night, it's been Tuesday night Overwatch for the last several weeks. Not anymore, because the event is over and I will be sick of Overwatch. So it's gonna be, Tuesday night, maybe Hearthstone? I'm getting kinda sick of the Hearthstone, standard meta as well. It's like, Hearthstone really wants to be Magic, so the meta sucks. But I will be streaming Tuesday night unless the sickness or something else comes up. So yeah, come check me out. Usually I start anywhere between 6:30 and 9:30 Eastern. Here lately it's been around 7 or 8 Eastern time. So yeah, come check it out. Hang out. We'll shoot the breeze. Play some games. It'll be sick. I guess that's everything, right? Yeah, it sounds good. So if you want to help support what I do with all of this content creation and podcasting and all of that good stuff, then check out the Patreon at patreon.com/themanapool, where you can sign up to get YouTube videos and Manapool episodes early. You can sign up to get the odds and ends, which is all of the uncensored nonsense that is recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool, behind the scenes real life nonsense.
There may be swearing. Stuff.
There's definitely swearing. Sometimes that's the very first thing you hear.
That's how you know. It's a transition swear.
That is how you know. And you can, if you're feeling so generous, sign up for the end screen tier where you can have your name plastered on the end of every video that goes up during every month that you support me at that tier. And I had to use a smaller font this month, dude, because more people signed up. It was awesome. Yeah, hell yeah. And with that, I guess that's enough about me. So if you want to help support magic podcasting in general, but not me specifically, that's perfectly understandable. What you can do is go to mtgcast.com, click on Support MTGcast, and you can sign up for a monthly donation there. Because while MTGcast is completely free for all of us podcasters, and it's completely free for all of you listeners, it's not actually completely free and actually costs quite a bit of money. Yeah. So every little bit there also helps. Yay. So with that, it just leaves me to thank Clues and Squee for joining me this week.
Woo! Our pleasure.
Don't lie.
Woo!
That's the lie. Yeah, don't lie.
Woo.
There we go.
Woo!
And I guess I'll thank me too. Thanks, me. Hey, you're welcome. Why am I podcasting while I'm sick? I don't know, man. I guess I'm stupid. All right, then. You could be playing Overwatch right now instead of podcasting. I could.
Wait, I could?
But then I'd feel bad for leaving Clues and Squee, or leaving Clues here by himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm done talking to myself now. So, this has been Monday Night Magic number 548. Wow. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.